We're in Ephesians 4, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. And we're going to read through verse 24 to begin with. Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. Let's read this passage. We're going to make some comments about this section, and then we're going to go into some specific things that Paul tells us about how to live the Christian life, and especially some things that we are not to do as Christians. Let's begin in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. Now, before we read on, let's notice here that there's a contrast. Paul has just talked about the way that these other Gentiles were living. Back in verse 17, he said that they lived in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, that's the way that he said these other Gentiles were living. But the first word in verse 20 is, but you, that is, you Gentiles, are Christians now, and you have not so learned Christ. Let's keep reading. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When a man is baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins, he leaves the old life behind. He leaves behind his former attitudes and his former ways. He leaves behind his old friends and his old priorities, because in Christ he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means a new creation. And Paul oftentimes talks about this. In Romans 6, verses 1 through 6, Paul said that when you're baptized, you are baptized into Jesus' death, and you are raised to walk in newness of life. You have a new life when you are raised out of baptism. And he goes on to say that when that happens, our old man is crucified with him. So there's this contrast that Paul oftentimes makes between the old man and the new man. The old man is the lost condition. That is the you, so to speak, before baptism, before conversion. And the new man is the Christian, the person that the child of God is now, the person who is in Christ and living the Christian life. So, as we've already seen back in chapter 2, these people had undergone a great change in their life. They had gone from being without God and without hope in the world to being in Christ and being equal heirs with the Jewish Christians of the grace of life. Now, he's talking about the big change that occurred in their behavior when they obeyed the gospel. Now, the question that we want to raise here is this. How did they make that change? What was responsible? What caused that big change in their life? Now, you might give several answers to that question, but I want to stay with what Paul emphasizes here. And what Paul points out here as the cause of their great change was the teaching that they had received. Look at verses 20 and 21. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Many preachers have said that Christianity is a taught religion. It is a learned religion, and that is so true. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even to the end of the world. So Christianity not only survives, but it thrives on the teaching of the Bible. And these people had been taught the Word of God, and it changed their lives. So if Christianity is going to spread, If we're going to make converts, we have to teach the Word of God. We have to sow the seed. And if Christians are going to remain faithful and loyal to Christ, they have to be taught. They have to be instructed. Now, why is it that we as human beings need so much teaching? Well, one of the reasons is because we tend to forget so quickly, and we need to be reminded. That is a very important part. As a matter of fact, it is a big part of what the teaching process actually is. Teaching is not just telling people things that they didn't know before and instructing them in that way. Teaching means that you remind people. We all need to be reminded of so many things when it comes to the gospel. So Peter, for instance, in 2 Peter chapter 1, talks about the Christian graces. He said, to add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and godliness, brotherly kindness and love. And he pointed out that even though these people knew these things, he was going to continue to remind them of these truths in the gospel. We also need to be taught on a regular basis because we don't do so well handling things ourselves and teaching and instructing ourselves. The Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. We don't do very well when we keep to ourselves and think that we don't need any teaching from other people. All of us need reminding. All of us need the teaching of God's Word to keep us in perspective and to keep us in the right frame of mind. We also need teaching, and Christianity is a very important taught religion because we tend many times to apply the truth to other people, but oftentimes we don't apply it to ourselves. We don't look at our own lives and apply it to ourselves, and so we need others to apply it to us, to help us to see, and even to get on to us and rebuke us and reprove us, which the Bible says we oftentimes need. It's also very important to remember that Christianity is and must be a taught religion because old habits and old attitudes are hard to break and they can creep back up on us. We need to remember that Christianity is a taught religion because oftentimes we are just plain stubborn. And because we are so easily and deeply influenced by the people around us, sometimes in the wrong way. So we need teaching, and we need to remember that Christianity is and must be always a taught religion. Paul said that these people's lives had changed because they had learned better, because they had heard better, because they had been taught the truth instead of the vanity of these lies that they had been living in and believing for all that time. So Paul said in verse 22 that you have put off concerning the former conversation, that is your old way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now he's just said in verses 17 through 19 that they lived in a life of lust. They lived a life of pleasure and immorality. And Paul says that those lusts were deceitful. Why? Well, because those lusts promised them pleasure and satisfaction and happiness, and they did not fulfill. And that's the nature of lust today. People think that they want something. People think that they desire some kind of activity and some kind of behavior, and they are promised by the devil oftentimes that they're going to be complete and whole and satisfied, but that is a lie. That is deception. He calls it deceitful lust. When a man is lusting after alcohol, when a man is lusting after a woman, when a man is lusting after money, he is being deceived. Those are deceitful lusts. Paul said, you have been renewed. You have been renewed in the spirit, that is, in the attitude, in the disposition of your mind. And in verse 24, he said, you've put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, not the vanity of your mind, not the kind of blindness of your heart, but your mind now has been created in righteousness and true holiness. So beginning in verse 25, Paul gets specific. Now he talks about several moral issues, and he states in no uncertain terms that we are to stay away from these things, that these things are sinful, that even if we have done these things before, they are totally unbecoming to a child of God. So he gives these warnings and he gives this instruction. Let's begin in verse 25. The first thing that Paul says that a child of God is not to do, the first thing that he mentions as being a part of the new life in Christ, in contrast to the old life, is lying. He says in verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." The Bible is very plain about lying. The scriptures say in John 8, verse 44, that lying is from the devil. So when a man lies, he is like the devil. If a man wants to be like the devil, then he needs to lie. But if he wants to be like God, he needs to tell the truth. Lying, Jesus said, is of the devil. John 8, verse 44. The Bible also teaches that God hates lying. Proverbs 6, verses 17 through 19, the scriptures say that God hates a lying tongue. The scriptures also say that all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. In the early church, one of the first problems that you find arising is that two people lied and they were struck dead by God because they lied. And as a matter of fact, they lied over what many people lie about today, and that is for money. They were greedy and they lied about money, and Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead by God in Acts 5, verses 3 and 4. And let's notice what he says in verse 25 about lying and about speaking the truth. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 25 again. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Speak every man truth with his neighbor. What Paul is emphasizing here, among other things, is what we oftentimes call the golden rule. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus said, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would," that is, you wish or desire "that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." So Jesus said, whatever you would rightly want men to do to you and how you would want them to rightly treat you, that's how you're to treat them. That is what you're to do for them. And the question that every man needs to consider is this: do you want people to tell you the truth? Or do you want people to lie to you? If you don't want other people to lie to you, then you should not and you should never lie to other people. The golden rule would forbid all kinds and any kind of lying. Because if I don't want somebody else to lie to me, I shouldn't lie to them. And you'll even find that people that are liars do not like it. In fact, they get incensed and they are very angry when somebody lies to them. Sometimes I've been amazed at people that were prone to lying and how that they would complain when somebody lied to them. "I can't believe he told me that. He just out and out lied to me." And the person who's saying that is a liar. Liars don't like to be lied to. Everybody likes to be told the truth. None of us likes to be lied to. Paul said, "Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." It's important in any area of life, whether you're talking about the home, a place of work, a community, a nation, in any group of people, it is very important for people to be honest and tell the truth to each other, because once lying begins, the whole situation begins to go downhill. And this is even more important in the church, because we rely on each other in the church to tell the truth. And once that begins to break down, then the church is in trouble. We are members one of another, and we have a right to expect to hear the truth, and we have the obligation to tell the truth to each other. God hates lying, and the Bible says to put away lying because we have put off the old man.